Daily Dribble. And welcome back to the Daily Dribble podcast, guys. As always, I'm your host, Nick Zammit, here back on the final push towards playoff basketball. Literally only a handful of games away. Five, six, seven games for most of the teams across the league. It's certainly, as I've said it week in and week out, it is the most exciting time of the year as a basketball fan. I couldn't be more excited if I tried. Hence, today I thought would be a really good opportunity to do my title power rankings. Now, over the course of the last couple of weeks, been building and kind of speaking about a lot of the teams that are set to have their seasons end over the coming week or two. Full focus now has to transition into the heavy hitters within the league. So a perfect opportunity to do my title power rankings, which I'll get into momentarily. Before I do so, though, guys, a big shout out to both the Stadium Scene and The Cover, week in and week out, continuing to showcase all of my work here at The Daily Dribble, as well as a whole host of other content creators in and around Australia, New Zealand, the US and Canada. So very, very appreciative of their hard work and support of me, especially as we gear up for a big playoffs push. And a big thank you to you guys as well for all your continued support as we get to the latter stages of the season. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. You guys are continuing to engage on a weekly basis. It's tremendous. Loving all the conversations I'm getting to have with you guys. So be sure to keep it coming. And then just finally, a big, big shout out to the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, who as of last week clinched their first NBL title in only their third year as a franchise. They went finals, semifinals, and then championship across their 3 years thus far. A tremendous achievement there for the franchise as a whole. Fantastic moment for the state. And it was just a tremendous series. So again, I'm hoping next season to build into the NBL show once again. I implore you, if you're not already an NBL fan, to kind of try and take note of some of the off-season happenings. Start to build a bit of a knowledge base of some of the players and teams within the league, because it is must-watch TV. So certainly looking forward to getting into that one next year. But once again, a big, big shout out to the Tassie Jack Jumpers. A phenomenal season as a whole and a phenomenal season from the NBL as a whole. Okay, let's not stand on ceremony any longer. Getting into my title power rankings, I'm going to go from 10 through to 1. I would certainly love to hear from you guys what you think I got right, what I got wrong with these ones, as well as how you would have assessed your power rankings. Okay, let's get into it. Let's start with my number 10, the New York Knicks. Now, with a full strength squad, I think they would be super, super dangerous. With news coming out during the week that Julius Randle is set to miss the remainder of the season, this certainly hinders them. Or does it help? Now, we've seen over the course of their season, they've had a couple of injury troubles here and there, new acquisitions coming into the fold. But when Randle, OG Anunoby, and Jalen Brunson were playing together, they were 11-1. Unfortunately, we haven't got to see a huge amount of that trio together. But with Randle being out, it really enables Brunson to continue to be that number one guy, unequivocally. There is no debating he's the number one guy on this team. As I said, having OG come back over the course of the last week or so certainly helps on both ends of the floor. But for me, I don't know. I still lack a little bit of faith in their center stocks. For them to go deep, it's going to take Brunson being absolutely nuclear. And given how strong the East is and the West should they make the finals, I think it could just be a little bridge too far this season. But again, take nothing away from their season this year. Jalen Brunson has elevated himself into a bona fide superstar. He's just going to need a lot of blokes to come with him on this push. Moving ahead to number 9, the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, again, another player that came back during the week was Joel Embiid, the reigning defending MVP of the league. With him, they have a chance. Now, I could have arguably gone maybe a little bit higher with them, but the fact they have to go in through the plane at this stage makes me somewhat nervous. And depending where they finish up, they'll have a tough first-round matchup regardless. I don't know. There's a lot of things that could go wrong very, very quickly for this team. They're going to need Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield all to turn up big time now if they want to go deep, in addition to Joel Embiid acting and playing like an MVP. I just think, again, teams that have to go through in that play-in, it's no easy feat. And again, one game, one and done. The 76ers, I would like to say I've got more faith in them. Had they've had Embiid healthy the whole time, had they clinched a higher seed, I would have had a little bit more faith. But I just think, given the timing of it all this season, they might fall a little bit short. Hence, I've got them ninth. Going to number eight, let's transition to the Western Conference. I've got the LA Lakers. It pained me to do this because I would have loved nothing more than to put them higher. Another team that has to go through the play-in tournament. Again, it doesn't bode that well for them, especially given at the moment they're looking in a 9-10 matchup. They're still trying to chase down the Sacramento Kings in the last couple of games there, which is certainly feasible. But as things stand, they would be in that 9-10 matchup against the Warriors. Been in this position before, we were able to overcome the Warriors in the play-in tournament. Again, it's not a position you want to find yourself in. For the Lakers, though, they can't possibly squeeze anything more out of LeBron James. He's doing everything and then some at age 39 to drag this team further. If they can make the playoffs, though, I think they'll certainly be a tough out. But they need LeBron, AD, and then either Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell on any given night to go big. There is a route there that they could take to win a championship. It's not something I'm placing a lot of stocks in. But with it's kind of like with Philly. With Embiid, you've got a chance. With LeBron, you've got a chance, undoubtedly. So I'm certainly hoping that my eight prediction is certainly understated there. Going to number seven, I've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. Getting Donovan Mitchell back is key. It's handy for him to get a couple of reps in before playoff ball starts. With a full-strength squad, this team can't be discredited. As that rotation starts to shorten throughout the postseason, their class will shine through. They've got a really strong kind of starting five and then probably seven deep. On both ends of the floor there with defensively Mobley and Allen, offensively Garland and Mitchell. A lot to like about this team. Again, I think we'll be another team that's a tough out. I personally feel somewhat like the Knicks. They kind of feel a bit of a juxtaposition there, that they're just one piece away from genuinely contending. I don't know what that piece is at the moment. I'll save that for another episode for a rainy day. But I just think, again, comparing them with the Celtics and the Bucks, the heavy hitters within the East, they're just a little step below. But I think they'll certainly put up a hell of a series against whoever they're against. So the Cavs are seventh. Going to sixth, I've got the Phoenix Suns. Now, talent-wise, they should be a genuine threat to win it all. They were building into this season, acquiring Bradley Beal. That was their sole intention, title or bust. Ensuring they avoid the play-in is key. At the moment, they currently sit tied with the New Orleans Pelicans in that 6th-7th position. I think getting out of that play-in is absolutely pivotal to them. And then potentially off the back of that, with how things currently sit, whoever's 6th would be facing the OKC Thunder in the first round. I think if you're Phoenix, you would absolutely take this. So that will certainly be their intent. Oh, sorry, forgive me. They've actually jumped ahead of the Pelicans at the moment on tie win-loss record, but they hold the tiebreaker over them. So as things currently stand at the time of recording, they are 6th at the moment. Again, a team that's poised to go all the way with a healthy and firing KD, Booker, Bradley Beal, and Grayson Allen knocking down threes, which he's been doing this season for fun. Every team should fear them. And as I said, that is kind of their metric this season for success. It is a title winning season. It has to be with that squad. So they've got a lot of work to do over the next month or two. Number five, the Milwaukee Bucks. Maybe a little bit over. I've probably given them a little bit too much credit given the way they've gone since Doc came over this season. And even probably prior to that, they haven't reached their full potential as a squad. Dame hasn't quite fired on all cylinders. Giannis has been putting up brilliant box scores and brilliant stats, but without kind of taking the game over as he has the last couple of seasons. But with both Dame and Giannis on the court together, you certainly can't count them out. I think the key piece within this is Middleton. They need him at his absolute best. I'm comparing them, I guess, to the Celtics. Should they make the Eastern Conference Finals, going up against the Celtics, they need everyone fit and firing. That's Bobby Portis. That's Brook Lopez. That's Chris Middleton. That's Beasley. That's Pat Bev. That is everyone. everyone in that rotation is going to have to be at their absolute best, I think, to beat the Celtics. There is a pathway there. You don't count out a team with Dame and Giannis, but I've certainly been disappointed by what they've displayed this season. I've got them fifth just partly due to the fact that with them and the Celtics, they have the clearest pathway forward into that Eastern Conference Finals. So they've certainly got a lot of work to do, a lot of kinks to iron out, and certainly going to need to play a lot better ball than what they are at the moment should they want to win another title. Number four, I've got the Dallas Mavericks. Now, a lot of people might think this is overs. I think they will go as far as Luka takes them. And based on his output and performances this season, arguably MVP, they look poised for a deep run. Kyrie is looking like a legitimate number two superstar at the moment. And with the acquisitions of Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, this only serves to further their standing as a legitimate threat, I believe. As I said, it is all dependent on Luka and Kyrie for a lack of. They've just got to continue to do what they're doing. Offensively, an absolute powerhouse. The key is, I think, for Luka not to get caught into a, I need to score every single bucket on every single game in the postseason. Continuing to bring others into the fold, the Washingtons, the Kyries, the Gaffords, the Tim Hardaways off the bench. He cannot beat 1v5. But getting these players around him going, I think, will be key to their success. And I think they could go extremely deep with this postseason run and potentially surprise a lot of people and win a title. Moving ahead to the top three, we have got in the third position, the LA Clippers have been very, very lackluster as of late, especially on the offensive end. Watching them offensively is just an absolute grind and battle, and it really shouldn't be given that talent offensively that they have. Defensively, pretty solid. Pretty solid. Nothing, no issues there. But in terms of pure talent, should I say, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Russell Westbrook coming back soon. In terms of pure star talent within the league, they need to actually make this their year. Somewhat like Phoenix, they've gone balls in to actually win a title. And again, probably one of their best opportunities to do so, you'd think. They're all healthy, which is a first. With the West East continuing to get better. Wow, I'm having a shocker there. That's a horrible last minute or two there on the old speaking front. Every team is getting better within the league. So I think if they're to win a title, this is probably their best opportunity. Stevie Ballmer, I tell you what, you've made a very big investment in terms of players, in terms of a new stadium, everything of the kind. You need some reward for that actual outlay of money. This is your best opportunity. So I've got the Clippers as third. Going to number two, I've got the Denver Nuggets, the defending champs. Again, to be honest, they sit second currently in the West. They don't actually look as if they've gotten out of first gear all season long, which is just a testament as to how good they are and serves us to no reason as to why they couldn't go back-to-back this year. Nikola Jokic, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists per game, could potentially be looking at another MVP award. He looks still as if he has another level to go to in the postseasons, which for every other team is a very, very scary proposition. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., that is a star-laden team. They know what it takes to win a title. I see no reason as to why they couldn't go back-to-back. And I tell you what, with my number one team here, which I'll get into in a second, if they were to face in the NBA Finals, Denver and Boston, what a series that would be. Won't get too far ahead of myself just there, but that would be a mouth-watering matchup. Speaking of the Celtics, let's move ahead. As you could have all probably guessed, my number one seed for my NBA championship power rankings is the Boston Celtics. They have been the benchmark all season long. They've taken their lumps. They've taken their punches over the course of the last few seasons. They certainly look poised to win it all this season. They look like a team befitting of champions. The way they've carried themselves, the way they've displayed themselves on the court across 82 games has been fantastic. I think adding Kristaps Porzingis there has just made them so much more potent, helps open up that lane for Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Derek White to slither his way in, just with his ability to shoot the three ball at a high clip. It really is, in this day and age, in the NBA, such a benefit having a big that can stretch the floor the way he does. Al Horford coming off the bench as well as a backup center is certainly nothing to to screw your nose up at as well. Look so well-rounded. I would be very, very surprised if they don't win the title this year. And I think given the way the season's gone, that is their, again, that is their expectation, absolutely. As a bare minimum, you would say to make the finals. Eastern Conference, they should take care of. They certainly look by far the best team in the East. NBA Finals is the bare minimum. And from there, they should really win it. So there you have it, guys. There is my top 10 NBA championship power rankings. I would love to hear what you think I got right, what I got wrong within those. I'll just quickly recap those teams in order. So my top 10 NBA championship power rankings are as follows. I've gotten 10th, the New York Knicks. 9th, the 76ers. We go down to the 8th in the Lakers there. The Cavs take up the number 7 spot. We've got the Suns in 6th. Milwaukee Bucks in 5th. 4th, the Dallas Mavericks. Moving ahead to the top 3, I've got the Clippers there in 3rd. The Denver Nuggets in 2nd. And the Boston Celtics as my number 1 championship power ranking favorite at this point in time. I can't believe it, guys. We are just about there. Next week, all attention is going to turn for me looking ahead to the play-in previews. All those matchups will essentially be set in stone come this time next week, which is exciting to say the least. Enjoy the last couple of games of the regular season. If your team is one that is set to bow out, hopefully there's a little bit of positivity that can be found during the course of the next week or so. Nevertheless, as NBA fans as a whole, enjoy what is shaping up as a mouth-watering set of play-in matchups and further to that, playoff matchups as well. I certainly can't wait. Till next week, though, guys, I will leave it there. I can't wait to speak to you again next week. Have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.